Thank you so much, Emiko, and welcome everyone. So glad to be here with you tonight. If you would like to and haven't had a chance yet, you could go ahead and rename yourself if you go up to the top right-hand corner and add your pronouns and the native land you're on if you'd like. As Emiko said, my name's Kimber. I use she/her pronouns. I'm here on Sakwan Miwok land in Moraga, just on the other side of the Oakland Hills. And I'm a white-bodied, cisgendered, femme, queer, mom, stepmom. And I'm just really, really honored to be here with you tonight. And so, yeah, welcome everyone to the shared space we have here. And let's just take a moment and take in this space, right? Take in wherever you are, wherever you're sitting in your home. Take in your location, both like physically and mentally, geographically. Take in the objects that are near you and around you. And take in the sort of, the amazing complicatedness of being able to participate with each other right here in Sangha via this transfer of light and energy through air and space. It's pretty amazing. And just take in our shared space together, right? Everybody arriving here from different experiences to spend this time together. And just take a moment to acknowledge whatever you're bringing here. And we're going to bring that in a little bit more, right? Whatever you're holding in the whole of your life today. And as Emiko mentioned, right, I invite you to notice, right? Notice that you have a body. Notice how the practice and the talk and the discussion all land in your body. And feel free to get yourself whatever you need to be comfortable in your practice as you settle in. If you want to need blankets or pillows, or feel free to sit up or lay down or be in whatever position is comfortable for your body from moment to moment. And just be sure to honor whatever access needs you have. And you can feel free to reach out to Emiko for support as you need to. And so today we'll start out with our practice, and then we'll go into the Dharma talk, and then we'll have some time for discussion and questions. And we're going to practice tonight in being gentle with whatever arises in the midst of the space that we're creating here together tonight, whatever you're holding within yourself, right? All the complicatedness, right? The elections, the world, right? Whatever's arising for you, body, mind, and heart. So I'm going to start out by inviting you to focus on the sensations of your breath and your body. That's our first foundation of mindfulness. And then as your thoughts arise, I want to invite you to meet them with a lot of friendliness, a lot of gentleness, as you invite yourself back to the breath over and over again. So go ahead and find a relatively comfortable position to practice in. Right? Sitting, standing, lying down, whatever's appropriate for where you are in your day. Go ahead and let yourself settle in. Close your eyes if that's comfortable. Wherever you are on your inhale, let your chest lift and your shoulders lift. Let your whole inner body get full and open and long. And on your exhale, root back down, extend back down through your legs, through your sitting bones, through whatever part of your body is touching the earth, supported by that quality of solidity and stability. On your inhale, invite in length and spaciousness through your whole inner body, all the way through the crown of your head. And on your exhale, let yourself rest. Let yourself rest into that feeling of support, being held by the earth beneath you. And as you breathe here, notice how your inhale lifts and fills your chest and your belly, and how your exhale lets it soften and release. Notice the sensations in your feet and in your hands. Feel their aliveness. And know that anytime you gently return your attention to the breath, to the sensations of the breath moving through the body, to the hands and the feet, you've arrived back in the present moment. And so, knowing that thoughts will arise, see if you can meet them with so much gentleness. Meeting them with a sense of friendliness, without judgment. Invite yourself, accompany yourself back to the breath, back to the present moment. Notice what's here. What's arising? And see if you can meet whatever's arising with a lot of gentleness. Whether it's work or to-do lists or worries or fantasies. Sensations in the body or feelings in the heart. See if you can turn towards what's arising with a sense of friendliness, kindness. No need to judge or evaluate what's here. And then gently invite yourself to arrive back in the sensation of the breath, moving in and out of the body, keeping you alive. Whatever's arising, see if you can turn towards it so gently. Maybe it's restlessness or sleepiness. Maybe it's doubt Maybe it's wanting something to be different than it is. Whatever it is, see if you can turn towards it with a gentle smile, a bow. This is what's here. And then invite yourself back to the sensation of the breath, sensation in the hands and feet. Welcome yourself back to the present moment. And as you breathe here, just notice if there's some part of your body that feels warm and easeful, relaxed. And breathe into that space. On your inhale, breathe in that sense of warmth and ease towards yourself. And on your exhale, let it expand out, let it grow out to include your whole body, all the way through your torso, down your legs, to your feet, through the shoulders and arms, through the hands, up through the head and neck and throat. Each inhale, draw in warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it back out all the way down to your toes, to the fingertips, to the crown of the head, to every cell and every muscle and every bone of your body. Each inhale, draw in that warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale now, let it extend out beyond your body into the room, the home, or the building that you share, all the beings that share it with you. Each inhale, draw in a sense of warmth, ease. And on your exhale, extend it back out. Let it spill out the windows and the doors onto the streets and sidewalks. Let it spill out in all directions, to the valleys and the hillsides, all the bodies of water. Each inhale, draw in warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it back out in all directions. Let it reach out for all the beings that roam the earth and the water and the air, all of their different configurations of legs and wings and fins. Each inhale, draw in warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend back out in all directions. Let it reach out across the continent, across the globe, every corner, remembered and forgotten. Each inhale, draw in warmth, ease, friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend back out in front of you and behind you, above you and below you, to the left and the right of you, in all directions. Each inhale, draw in warmth, ease, friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend back out to the whole globe, the whole solar system, the galaxy and the galaxies beyond our galaxy. Each inhale, draw in warmth, ease, and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend back out to the universe and the universes beyond our universe. Let that warmth and friendliness and ease extend out in all directions to all beings, everywhere. Welcome back. Feel free to go ahead and stretch a little bit. Just notice if there's any movement that would feel good in your body right now. Some gentle movement, stretching or opening. Maybe you even want to stand up for a moment. And feel free to share in the chat how you're feeling right now at this moment. What's arising for you? Maybe what you're holding right now, what you're carrying with you, or what's arisen in your practice Ah, spacious. Yeah. Yeah, just a word or a phrase or anything you'd like to share. Open and hear. Yeah, thanks. Anxiety. Yeah, just want to hold that with a lot of tenderness. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Just a reminder again, whatever your body needs, be sure to take really good care of yourself right now. Yeah, so much tension in the face. Yeah, that's a really good thing about Zoom too. You can always, you can have your screen off. You can look away from the screen if you need to. Do whatever you need to do to really honor what's arising in your body moment to moment. Yeah, if anybody else wants to share what they're holding, what they're carrying right now, love to hear that. Maybe we can just take a big deep breath together. Just take in a big inhale and exhale, sigh it out. Again, big deep breath in and exhale, let something go on your breath. One more time, big deep inhale. And exhale, let it go. Let something release and soften here. So I'd like to start out tonight by just acknowledging where we are, in the seasons in relationship to our friend the moon. Just yesterday, early morning, was the peak full moon. But the moon should still look pretty full tonight. It should still just be like waning just a little bit on that right side. In the Algonquin tradition, it's called the beaver moon. And with all the beavers right now, this time of year, like building their dams and their dens to prepare for winter. And as I'm sure you're aware, we're just past Halloween and Dia de los Muertos, which is the halfway point between the fall equinox and the winter solstice. And it marks the 7 weeks or so that lead us into the longest night of the year, right? And that winter solstice. And so each day, right, the sun is visiting us for a little bit less time. It becomes more and more obvious, right? Especially after the time change this weekend. And just to notice how that lands in your body, how the change in the ratio of day and night, affects you emotionally and physically and spiritually. So just wanting to acknowledge that. And also, right, let's not forget, yesterday was election day. And just notice, right, how that whole experience of the election lands or landed, or is continuing to land in your body. Just noticing, right, what hopes and fears and numbness, anger, joy, right? What are you carrying? And just pause for a moment, just acknowledge, right? What arises for you during election season? What's arising for you in this election season? And I always wonder, when I'm preparing for to teach, around a big, event like this, it's like when you come to meditate, right? Would you prefer to address the elections? Would you prefer to land in a space that's free from election talk? And I can definitely understand both, right? Sometimes, especially as like a white, femme, queer, anti-racist, progressive person who cares about the world, right? I sometimes want all the realities that we're living with to just be acknowledged. And then other times, honestly, I need kind of a respite, right? Away from all the stress and the onslaught of the world and news. And so wherever you fall on that scale, I just want to acknowledge your reality and that we can all be in different places around what our needs are moment to moment. And I actually, in line with that, and also holding the complexity that sometimes like we're not feeling one thing, right? I want to share with you this image from this really wonderful artist who I follow on Instagram, and Emiko is gonna pull that up for us. And she's known for her ability to illustrate emotions through watercolors. And I'll, for those who are just listening, I'll describe the image to you. So it's a really beautiful watercolor heart that has all these multicolors in it, and there are words written into it. And I'll read you some of the words here. And one of the things I love about this image is that it really captures the complexity of what our hearts experience moment to moment, right? Because I know for myself, it's almost never just one thing that I'm feeling. So this artist, her name is Rakin Rukshi, and she has the words passionate, angry, frustrated, envious in different parts of the heart, right? Weary, tired, grateful, restless, energized, right? See if any of these land for you. Accepting, content, doubtful, daring, hopeful. And the way that this heart is arranged in how she's portrayed it, it almost looks a little bit like a map, like a very colorful map. And it's, to me, yeah, I can just take it in for another moment before Emiko takes down the screen share. Yeah. And so it's a really good question, I think, for all of us. Like, what does the map of your heart look like? What does it look like right now? Right? Maybe there are valleys of sadness. Maybe there's a mountain range of like connection and joy. There might even be like forests of hopelessness and hopefulness, right? Even just intertwined with each other. It's all in there. Right? And so just to pause and take in all the complexity of your heart and what it's capable of feeling and experiencing, right? Moment to moment. Is changing all the time. It's part of the impermanence of what's arising. Oh yeah, and Kel's reminding us that there's a total lunar eclipse blood moon that that happened yesterday. Yeah, so wild. Yeah, and right now, even just put a hand over your heart. I'm gonna invite you, if that feels right to you, just put a hand over your heart and turn towards whatever needs tending there. Whatever tenderness might be arising, meet it, hold it, acknowledge its presence. Offer it some breath and some space. Right, another big deep inhale together. And exhale, sigh it out, let it go. Go ahead and release your hand from your heart, or leave it there if it feels comforting. I know that for myself, when I pause and really feel my heart, it's full of all kinds of things right now. Right? There's some exhaustion there. Right now, in my household, we're living with a kitchen remodel. And so last night when it was pouring rain, no, if it was pouring rain where you are, it was pouring rain for us. And I was outside with like three layers of clothing and my raincoat with a headlamp grilling to make dinner in the dark, right? And, you know, I'm also holding, I recognize like I'm holding some deaths and some separation that's happening among family and friends right now. There's also honestly some genuine relief that I'm feeling around the election. Locally, in my in my town, in my county, there's a woman who's well known for her transphobia, for her homophobia, someone who's gone out of her way to make me and my wife and my child feel unwelcome in our community. And she was running for the governing board for Contra Costa County for the school district. And in some good news, she definitively lost. And it's such a huge relief for me, right? That she doesn't feel emboldened by the election. And it's small victories can feel really big sometimes, right? It's like, I know it's really small and local, but this was really important. And then there's, on top of that, right, on top of, you know, all these different things that are arising for me, right, there's also all the uncertainty, right, all the uncertainty about the future, right, politically and socially, in terms of racial justice and Indigenous rights and much more. And it's not just the election, right? There's so much happening, right, all over the planet, right? There's war and political instability, climate change. When I do my compassion practice, I often think of folks who are unhoused, right? Especially now that it's raining and cold. You think of people who struggle with food insecurity, the ongoing effects of the pandemic, right? Which we're all trying to learn to live with. And it can be a lot, right? It's a lot for our tender hearts to feel the enormity of suffering of beings all over the planet, right? Nearby and far away. But the practice asks this of us, right? To the best of our ability, based on our moment-to-moment capacity, can we turn towards the suffering of all beings? Right? And how do we do this? How do we do this really? Right? Because it's hard to hold all of it, especially in the midst of whatever's going on in your own life, with the people you love and care about in your own circle. And I want to share this poem that I first heard read by my mentor, Noliwe Alexander. I first heard it years ago at a queer retreat at Spirit Rock. It's called What They Did Yesterday Afternoon. It's by Worshen Shire. They set my aunt's house on fire. I cried the way women on TV do, folding at the middle like a 5-pound note. I called the boy who used to love me, tried to okay my voice. I said, hello. He said, Worsan, what's wrong? What happened? I've been praying. And these are what my prayers look like. Dear God, I come from two countries. One is thirsty, the other is on fire. Both need water. Later that night, I held an atlas in my map, ran my fingers across the whole world and whispered, "Where does it hurt?" It answered, everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. So how do you find yourself holding all of it? Do you find yourself turning away from it, ignoring it? Maybe feeling overwhelmed and depressed, feeling hopeless or helpless. Sometimes we feel numb and distracted. We can get caught up in our busyness and not feel anything at all. It's really important to not hold what's going on with a sense of smallness or aloneness, right? Because most of all, we want to ventilate the pain, right? Give it some air and light and space. It's like what Worshen Shire, right, this poet is pointing to. She's using her pain and her family's pain as a way of opening up to the pain of the world, as a way of softening and turning towards what's happening instead of away from it. And we can turn that isolation of pain and suffering into a means of connecting with the larger whole, right? Connecting with our big hearts, connecting with each other. And equanimity is so key, right? It helps us balance the overwhelm that can arise when we open our hearts to compassion, right? We're tiny particles inside of waves. And equanimity helps us see this, right? That these particles that we are inside of these waves are inside bigger waves and bigger waves than that. I think about how I like to go paddleboarding when the weather's warm. And sometimes I just ignore the stand-up part of paddleboard and I just lay on my paddleboard and I look into the water. And it's amazing to see all the movement. Right? There's currents moving in different directions. There's the wind stirring the surface and water flowing in one direction, and then tiny waves inside that waves that are rippling in the other direction. And then there's even tinier ripples inside those. And it makes me realize, like, we're just a tiny speck of matter floating in all the midst of that. This giant wave of evolution, right? The smaller waves of history and social movements. The tiny ripples of our lifetimes in the midst of all that. And as tiny as we are, we know, right? We know that we can affect these waves in all kinds of ways. Right? By overcoming our conditioned indifference, offering universal compassion, taking action in the world, right? Those are just some of the ways we can create shifts. Right, from the micro to the macro, from the personal to the collective. But it's hard, right? I mean, right, universal compassion, right? Think about that. That's a tall order. Right, if I'm really serious about that, it would mean that I also send compassion to the bigoted woman in our community, right, who's trying to make life harder for trans kids in schools. Right, how is it possible to hold this woman and her supporters with compassion? Right, and that's not a question that's just local, right? It's about how we even hold all the folks who even question our right to exist. Do we have to hold them with compassion, right? Isn't that too much to ask? Like, this is where I come right up into the edge of my practice. But then I step back a little bit. I think I really appreciate Pema Chodron's way of holding compassion. Because she says we have to start with ourselves first, right? Start small. So like even just right now, notice whatever you're holding, whatever you're feeling. And if you're feeling numb or afraid or shut down or overwhelmed, right? Just notice it. Let yourself feel that for a moment. You can always place your hand over your heart. Acknowledge it, breathe it in, let yourself feel it, and then remember that you're not alone. Others feel this too, right? Others right here in this moment feel this too. So as you take that in, what you're really feeling on the inhale, then breathe out a sense of relief and openness and expansiveness towards both yourself and everyone else who feels this way. And you can continue doing this over and over with the breath, right? So just breathing in exactly what you're feeling right now, remembering you're not alone in it, and then breathing out spaciousness and relief for yourself and everyone else who's feeling this too. And it's a way of turning towards ourselves, a way of turning towards our hearts. Right? Because one truth is that it's really hard to be open to others' pain if we're not open to our own. And also, right, we might actually be really good at opening up to others' pains, but still find it really hard to acknowledge our own pain. And the Buddha said, if your compassion does not include yourself, it is incomplete. If your compassion does not include yourself. It is incomplete. But here's the thing, you don't have to start with the most difficult thing or with the most difficult person, right? You can just start with how hard it is to take in the suffering all around us right now. You can start by turning towards the feeling of being unwanted, feeling isolated or ashamed. You can start with the painful feeling of not wanting to feel your own pain, or not wanting to feel someone else's pain, or with the feeling of being far away and unable to help. And to know that you're not alone in whatever you're feeling, right? Others share that feeling. You are in good company, whatever the complicated, changing nature of your feelings might be. So breathe in. Breathe in that whole complicated map of your heart and remember you're not alone in it. And breathe out spaciousness for yourself. Breathe out relief for yourself, ease for yourself, and everyone else who's feeling this too. Everyone who's in that same feeling boat that you're in. And so offer compassion to yourself first, right? You're holding so much. The world is holding so much, really more than humans have ever been asked to hold in the history of human existence. And you're not separate from the world. So why not give yourself gentleness and breath and make space for whatever you're feeling, even if it's numbness, right? Because sometimes our hearts feel numb because we feel so much underneath and it doesn't feel safe to feel it or to express it. So numbness doesn't mean that we're not feeling. It might mean that we're sort of titrating our experience, right? Just taking a break from letting so much in. And the truth of impermanence means that even our numbness will pass. And your heart's ability to feel is something to celebrate. Even your heart's ability to feel others' pain is something to celebrate, right? It's powerful to connect with each other in the midst of suffering, right? And connecting with others is another really important part of our practice, right? The Sangha, right? Our community is a deep place of refuge, one of the three jewels. So when you find your heart overwhelmed with pain, right, reaching out and asking for comfort and support can be so important. And then to be someone who others can reach out to for comfort and support as well. I'll share with you this just a little brief summary of this article from Alice Walker from 2008, actually. It was her recipe for post-election anxiety soup. It was like how to making a soup that addresses your anxiety. And there's only four ingredients, really good, really wholesome ingredients. So the recipe for anxiety soup is number one, dance. The first important ingredient, dance. Number two, meditate, right? You already did that tonight. You've already got one of the ingredients set. Third ingredient of anxiety soup is soup, actual soup, right? Such a good thing for us to enjoy this time of year. And the fourth ingredient for anxiety soup is snuggling with a friend, with a cuddly animal, with some sort of blanket, right? Anything that you can get close and snuggle with. There you go. Cat, a dog. Right? Because sometimes we need to reach for others. And sometimes we need to find comfort within ourselves. Right? I know for myself during a really deeply painful time, Some years ago, I found myself in a situation that was really physically and emotionally intense. It was also humiliating. And it was really clear that reaching out to other people would only make the situation worse, and it was a situation I couldn't leave or escape. And I found so much comfort in this quote from Thich Nhat Hanh. It's from his book, The Novice, where he encourages us to take refuge within ourselves, within our own hearts. He says, go home to the island within yourself. There is a safe island of self inside. Every time you suffer, every time you are lost, go back to your true home. Nobody can take that true home away from you. And you may rightfully ask, right? Like, yeah, sure, that seems like a great idea. But how do I actually do this? Right? And I have a little map, another map, a little map of sorts. And it's another way of looking at the geography of our heart mind. And it's a chart that I made that it was inspired by the artist, Rakin Rukshi, that I mentioned earlier. And yeah. Miko, you want to bring that up, and I'll describe it to those of us who are listening. So there's four quadrants. One of the quadrants has mental chatter in it and a lot of like little thought bubbles with different things rising up. And it represents like all of the mental chatter of our lives. Then there's the quadrant on the top left-hand corner. The quadrant on the top right-hand corner is the ego critic. It's like there's like a trophy and then the little me being squashed by a boot. Then in the lower left quadrant, there's the inner child, like a little baby. And then in the lower right quadrant, there's the wisdom heart, which is like a heart with like a little like meditating being sitting inside. And I'll take you through this map, and you can think of it as this sort of geography of the mind when you settle down to practice. So you can leave it up for a little bit, Emiko. So first, when we quiet down, we can suddenly kind of hear all the mental chatter, right? It's like when we first settle down to practice, right? We hear this mental chatter, and we sometimes call it monkey rot mind. We call it distracted attention. There's lots of different terms for it. And it's where we have like rehearsed arguments that we go over, or like to-do lists, like, oh, I should have said this, or I should have said that. There's fantasies and worries and all these different images. And it's like the mental flotsam and jetsam. It's like the little bouncing balls of our thoughts and experience. And in our practice, right, we work to notice this aspect of our mind, but to not identify with it. And then, right, that quadrant over to the right, there's the ego critic. And that's the part of our mind that's constantly comparing ourselves to other people, making ourselves better and worse, judging and critiquing, putting ourselves down, puffing ourselves up. And its job is to constantly evaluate how valuable we are in the social hierarchy and to preserve our social position. Like that's its function. And this is another part of ourselves, right? To notice, but not to identify with, right? Because it takes us out of the present moment over and over again. And then in the lower left corner is that inner child. And this is often the wounded and feeling part of ourselves. It's often where our trauma lives. It can also be the part of ourselves that's playful and silly and joyful. It can be a place where as adults, we can hold a lot of shame there and like kind of hold it at a distance. And it's this deeply emotional part of ourselves that operates underneath our rational thinking. And it's constantly trying to get our unmet emotional needs met. It's trying to heal our unhealed trauma, and not always constructively, right? And we often try to ignore and push aside this part of ourselves. And then in the bottom right corner, you see the wisdom heart. It's kind of rainbow heart. And it's this is the part of ourselves that sees our wholeness and our goodness and holds our whole life and being with perspective and with ease. It's that quiet, knowing part of yourself that remembers the truth of who you are. It's inherent. It's this very gentle part of yourself that emanates loving awareness, that remembers that you're not separate from anything. And this is the part of ourselves that we're really invited to lean into in our practice. Like, can you rest into your wisdom heart and then turn towards the other aspects, right? Turn towards the mental chatter, turn towards the ego critic, turn towards the inner child with your own loving awareness. You can go ahead and take down that image, Emiko. Thank you. So it's like, I don't know if you've ever seen, the meme. There's a little meme that goes around sometimes and it says, sometimes I wrestle with my inner demons and sometimes we just snuggle. Sometimes I wrestle with my inner demons and sometimes we just snuggle. And your wisdom heart is like, it's like this interior beanbag chair where you can like cuddle up with your inner demons and just like pet their fuzzy heads and tell them you're in this together. It really, your wisdom heart is like that big, that vast, that it can hold even the deepest shadow parts of ourselves. And so the invitation is to offer reassurance to yourself from your own wisdom heart. To hold all of the parts of yourself with gentleness. To give yourself breath and ease, and then share that out into the world. Right? And if you're anything like me, right, this is a new habit for many of us, right? It's like a growing edge to meet the world and ourselves with greater compassion, right? How do we do this in our lives? And one really important aspect of this is to trust your heart's ability to change. You don't have to force it. You don't have to judge yourself. There's no benefit to like beating yourself with a stick to try to make yourself more compassionate. It doesn't work that way, right? You just lean in the direction of more kindness and more compassion. You don't have to judge or berate yourself for not being kind enough. You just keep leaning towards and listening to your wisdom heart. And when we do this, we open to greater possibilities within ourselves. Greater possibilities within our relationships, within the world. We open to the possibility of widening our hearts to include ourselves and the whole world with compassion. And we start small, right? Can you feel yourself? Can we feel ourselves as that tiny particle and know within ourselves that we're held by this larger wave that includes all beings? And I'll share with you here, just as we're closing, closing the talk anyway. There's a couple of quotes from people who I really, really deeply respect who talk about why doing this inner work is so important. And this is from Prentice Hemphill, who some of you might be familiar with. The kind of change we are after is cellular as well as institutional, is personal and intimate, is collective as well as cultural. We are making love synonymous with justice. That sense of that love coming from your center first, from your interior experience, your own compassionate heart, really cultivating this deep, compassionate inner environment, right, towards yourself first. And then from another quote from, this is someone who's so dear to my heart. It's a poet, prophet, activist, Adrienne Marie Brown. She says, this is the central work of each generation, to expand the field of possibility for the generations to come, weaving together the best practices and lessons from the generations that came before. In the face of narrowing minds and narrowing options for human survival, it is our purpose to create more possibilities. And so I just want to invite you to leave here whatever doesn't serve you. Take with you whatever resonates with the wisdom in your own heart. I want to offer so much gratitude to my teachers and my Sangha siblings and family, and gratitude to the lineage and the ancestors, all the indigenous stewards of the land on which we live. And I'd love to just pause for a moment and just feel into your body. So go ahead and just settle in for a moment. We'll dedicate the merit of our practice here together. So just feel into your breath. May the goodness and wholesomeness of our practice here together tonight be of benefit to ourselves and to each other. May it benefit all those we love, our communities and the communities beyond those communities. May it ripple out to be of benefit to all those who are ill, isolated, incarcerated, to all those who are suffering. May it extend out to all the realms, to everyone who needs it, everyone remembered and forgotten. In whatever way possible, may this practice be of benefit to all beings everywhere. Thank you all so much for being here tonight.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.